Blog Talk Radio.
But it's springtime right here.
be turning me off. Overthink again. Let the games begin. I know to be turning you off. The look that you keep showing off.
Trying to spread love on you, I ain't talking sexes. We go acapella, make a playlist, just whatever. Hit your spot and find you weak. You can title any sheet she likes. You the go. Every time you come through, it's a standing on. Trying to mash up on that ass just like my show. Come get what you've been waiting for. Won't you let me compete, top of the key, I had you raining on me, just like the WB, give me your ring, I'm in the coupe, I got the aim ready to shoot, bringing the fire like in the pool, you need a fix, I got the tools, yeah,
true.
You know, if two was good, I'll never move back in, coming home, trying it every time your waterfalls,
just tell me where to start, baby, if you let me. I'ma take you there, only if you let me.
Won't you let me
inside? Girl, just don't tell me I came all this way just for you to change your mind. Won't you tell me I'm waiting night and day?
could it be that I'm that blind? Cause I can see the beautiful, but I didn't see the disguise, eh? The finest fruit in the grapevine, eh? Bitter taste in the sweet wine. I'm over here with a cup full, drinking to my demons. Down in my loyalty.
Thank you. Good people, good people, good people. What is happening this evening? Of course, as we start the traditional background music, we get going. Welcome to another edition of Epiphany Radio Universe Presents War Council. This one in particular, hopefully you can hear me because I think I was. Matter of fact, let me just open people's mics so I know that y'all can hear me. All right, can y'all hear me?
Yep, crystal clear.
All
right, because I'm using the laptop microphone. Although I heard it on high that I might be receiving some podcast equipment, but that's just me. Waiting on it now. But my sound should improve dramatically after that because I'll have like a sound card running everything and doing different things. Anyway, that's besides the point. We have a whole lot to discuss. We'll be doing this segment. The one thing that I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start sectioning off certain segments so that we can actually get to it. So in case certain people make it and they know what segment they're on by the time the hour happens. It takes some organization, but I got a lot of stuff going on in the background. But we're going to get it done before April, and it's going to be nice. Now, some of these things that we're doing, we're posting in live time in the War Council group, which will actually, I'll be actually making people who are in War Council administrators and stuff like that. We're going to start growing the group and doing topics and really getting people involved in a lot of different things. It's a good thing that's going to happen. It's going to be good for Epiphany. It's going to be good for us and different things like that. Because why not? We talk about a lot of good things. We're kind of underneath your radar, but kind of you have to expose yourself and do some other things. Now, as we play these cool tunes in the background, you know, if you like that, I kind of like make little playlists and things of that sort. I'm trying to get on this playlist thing so they can play me for my music selection, so I'm practicing. But if you'd like to call in to respond, please call. The number is 319-527-6300. Press 1 to be heard. All right, you can stream at www.blogtalk.com/IEYEC, the letter C, people, as in people, P-E-O-P-L-E. I don't know why that was difficult. All right, we are on all major podcast outlets, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Speaker, CastBox, and more. And this is a Real Entertainment Network. We encourage you to check this out. So, baby, baby. All right, so. That being said, we have some incredibly good people here with us this evening, of course. So that you know, these are we have put out a call for new panelists, you know, get some new blood, do some different things. And I should have probably been a little bit more focused, but I was trying to feed this kid, and fried cabbage is a thing around here. And he just dogged a whole bunch of like it was like half a head of cabbage, and like he's oh, it's delicious, and so I had to feed him so I can do what I got to do. So yeah, so if you ask me, that's my secret. See, that's my secret store. Most people don't know I fry cabbage. Got from my mama. It's good. Right now, coming in here, we're gonna announce the ladies first. Of course, we have my bestie in all the world, my favorite Philly John, the Perla Negra, aka Danielle Cheney. Danielle, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm good. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, everybody.
Right?
Why am I echoing?
I have no idea. You're not echoing to me. Followed up by you've been served by the Lipped One, Lisa Lips. Lisa Lips, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing okay. How you guys doing?
You know,
I'm trying
to keep my butt.
I'm echoing.
You know. All right. Let me try to get everything together, make sure it all happens. And then, of course, I got the eloquent one, the Sith Lord, the bearded wonder, known as Wendell Berry. Brother Berry, are you there?
Peace, brother. Yes, I am here. Glad to be with y'all.
Glad to be with
for
y'all.
For another War Council.
For another War Council.
All right, that's what's up. Now, we're going to have people coming in late. There's a lot of stuff going on that's flying around in the background, so you know, But we're going to be here for a good time, maybe not a long time, but we're going to try to cover some topics while we're here, while we're talking about it. So if you'd like to participate, Janice, I see you, you can just press 1 and just come on in and lend your conversation to this because, you know, we're open and we'll be doing that too. Also, there'll probably be people flying in from the post. As we address it, because we're talking in real time and people who are streaming, you hear me. We are talking about the post that I did put up on my regular page that you can see, and we're going to start dealing with that first. And we call that post, Love Don't Cost a Thing. So let me read the meme to y'all so that y'all have it, and then we're going to get opinion on everything else. Everybody's echoing? I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hear anybody echoing. You know, let me try something. Let me try something different. Tell me if it changes if I do this. All right. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Are you echoing? Are you still echoing?
I don't hear one now.
Wendell, are you echoing?
Yeah, I was echoing.
I don't hear it now.
Are you echoing now?
Okay, I don't hear it now.
Okay. All right, so that's what I think. I think that's what the problem was, what I was doing. All right, so hold on. Let me get over to the post of the post. So we can get to it, all right. We'll try to get this done, all right. As soon as my thing loads, because it is loading slow because it is doing triple duty right now. Excuse all my Steeler posts. You know, I'm just extremely happy right now. You know, just Steelers are doing the thing in the offseason. I love that. I'm almost there. You know, it didn't even occur to me that I could probably go to War Council. It'd probably be a lot easier. It'd be a lot easier than scrolling on my page. I love scrolling like a goddamn fool. All right. So here's the post. All right. And y'all can put y'all weight on it. We're going to ask you guys your opinion, then you can come in and weigh in on it. All right. Now, all right. She's a surgeon making $400,000 a year, and he's the manager of a shoe retail store making $44,000 a year. The storyline behind this marriage was quite impressive as the wife paid for the wedding, honeymoon, and moved her husband into her home and bought him a $70,000 Lexus. Meanwhile, her so-called friends ridicule her for all of this. Is she foolish or genuinely in love? All right. So let's start with the ladies. Lisa Lips, we'll start with you. What's your opinion on it?
I think she may genuinely be in love. I want to know his side of it because – is he there because he genuinely loves her, or is he enjoying the come up?
I don't know. That's an interesting thing. Danielle, what's your opinion?
Okay, I have a girlfriend who is fairly wealthy, and she did the same thing. I mean, she didn't spend that much, but she paid for a wedding and everything that came with it. She bought him a vehicle and herself a vehicle. She bought the house. Now, he is, what do you call him? He's into construction and home remodeling, and their house is absolutely amazing, and he's done all the work. He stripped it, and he has put it, – it's just beautiful. I don't see him – he doesn't, like, really give her a lot of respect, though. He has a roving eye. I think that's what you call it. He does love her, but not the way I believe she deserves to be loved. Now, as far as this woman that we're talking about, we as women have a tendency to want to constantly give. And it's usually because we feel loved in some way, shape, or form, or we are trying to hold on to somebody. Now, this woman is wealthy. She paid for everything. Her money, her choice. I have the same question in my mind. Does he genuinely love her, or is he along for the ride of the good things? I don't think she did anything wrong. I wouldn't ridicule her or judge her for it because it's her money, her relationship. You can't tell a person how to feel, how to spend their money or anything like that or how to think. So if that's what she wanted to do, then she had her dream wedding probably. That's just what she wanted to do. I don't think she's being foolish. Honestly, if I was wealthy like that and I had the man in my life that I wanted, I already, you know, treat him like an emperor anyway. So why not just go full speed ahead? You know, it's up to her. I don't think she's being foolish, but I don't know enough about her relationship with him to really make a call on it like that.
Well, you know, these goddamn memes on the internet. This is what we do. That was the one. What's your opinion?
So I am firmly of the opinion that what you eat don't make me shit. So how she chooses to manage herself with regards to spending money on her significant other, completely up to her. I don't think it makes her, you know, foolish or anything like that, you know. Because people do certain things, you know, to either express that they love someone or they do things when they're under the influence of the brain chemicals that would make one think that they're in love. And, yeah, this is just a case where she has the means and this is what she chooses to do. So, you know. Do your thing, sis. I'm not mad at you. And hopefully, since this is only coming from her perspective, hopefully the man in the responds to her in a way that is reflective of the value that he has her at in his life, regardless of how much money she's spending on him.
Whew, thank you. Nah, it's a good topic because number one, I think that men themselves, if we were to do it with a particular mate, it wouldn't cause that many problems if we, you know, depending on how we chose it to be. In anything else, nobody bats an eye when somebody's, you know, well off and they decide to, you know, marry someone who's not economically on that same level, particularly when men do it with women. So, I mean, I believe in the equality of the situation. Although, reading the comments, which I'm going to go through real quick, J. Rob, usually on live duty at this time, he said, it's her money and her man, and life is good next, right? Lisa said, Lisa, who asked that, I don't know how she feels for him, but I would want more information. Does he truly love her to come up? If, God forbid, she lost her job tomorrow, would he still be in all for her? Which leads to more questions. All right, C. Primos, who's one of the administrators for ES Talking Grown, said, as a person who lived this, I don't recommend it at all. Bad decision, but as an adult, you do what you want. So I believe David Aaron, who I have no connection to, because the post was public, he said, it's funny. men have historically married and dated down. It's not, it's never been looked upon as a bad decision when the shoe is on the other foot, though. All right, so C. Primos is, like you said, not all people have the same experience as I have my own, and I can only go off that. I went in my marriage knowing I made more, and the problem was he wasn't comfortable with it. I didn't care, and I thought if I made more, we made more. He was insecure and made the marriage difficult. And the next time you jump in with your response, thinking you're making a point, ask first to gain clarity, right? Danielle, you had answered. My fraternity brother James White said, the black community is the only community worrying about things that don't matter. And, of course, and my little brother, Daniel said, easy. It's none of our goddamn business. But is it? Because we always make commentary on stuff like this because social media rules the roost. Case in point, you know, who the fuck did I marry, right? Everybody was caught in a whirlwind of that bullshit for a couple of things, and people really yawned. One of my good friends, Janelle Simmons, which, Wendell, I think you know Janelle, right? I don't know if Wendell can hear me, but she got on because she made posts, and you know, it hit Twitter, and then it was like a whole bunch of people, and then one of the ladies who had nothing to do with it was talking about she was going to sue her for the post. Like, it's like all kinds of craziness about people posting content and stuff like that, but content is what we do over anything else. Like, if we think about it, so here's a general question. Before we had the internet, you know, most of the times, how do we find out about any of these type of relationships?
Telephone. You know. Word of mouth, being outside in the neighborhood with our friends, talking. We'd hear our parents gossiping, even though we weren't really supposed to be around them when they were talking about certain things. It's just word of mouth. Nothing travels faster than the speed of light except for gossip. Well, that's pretty much it.
That's true. My bad, brother. I had to put the mute on. I had to do something.
Okay.
Quick. I don't know if you had called on me for something. My bad.
No, it's okay. No, I was just my question to the council was like, how did we find out about these type of relationships before the age of the internet?
Oh, yeah. That was just straight gossip, you know. Men gossip and women gossip, and we gossip wherever it is that we congregate. So at church, at work, at school, on the phone, people just talk about other people's business.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about you, Lisa?
Yeah, I agree. And gossip moves faster than lightning, man. And the bigger your family, the more folks there are out there to know what's going on.
Good point. Because imagine if, right, we all know that some people, they had papas that were Rolling Stones. Sometimes they had families on the same, you know, on two different sides of the town, you know. A lot of children in between, you know, I know from my person, you know, the stuff was happening like that. But it was just strictly observed. Maybe talked about, gossip about, said anything, but there was nothing that ever spread information as quick as the internet. So now we can look at the internet. I was about to think it was going to be wrong. Now we can look at the internet and see all of the different things that are actually happening. You know, and now we have great things like Reddit that allow us to hear into people's lives more than watching the story. You know, my grandparents, they used to watch the stories, God and Light, and all that good shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say this, right? So I didn't get a chance to post it because I didn't get a chance to do it, and because I wanted to talk about a couple of things, but one of the things I'll put in there, I'm going to definitely read it, but I put it in the chat. So I was looking for the first part, but apparently the person deleted it. They deleted the first part, And so I'm going to just read this to you and give you the background since I read the first one. And I was trying to post it, but I guess he deleted it from what you call it. But he said, the whole point is that the man had been married to his wife for 8 years, right? And she had a child from a previous relationship. And the father was nowhere around, or so he thought. So for 8 years, you know, he had been trying to have a baby with her. Like, you know, they want to have a baby, everything else like that. And so it just wasn't working no matter what they did, you know. And so he decided to go to the doctor to find out if there was anything wrong with him. If he was, you know, infertile, he didn't have the proper sperm count, you know, because you have a certain amount of, like, for men, you have a certain, like, you have to produce so many thousands per serve. I don't know. Windows, you have any information? I want to say I'm wrong about it. But I think, like, you have to have so many thousands of sperm per milliliter or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the sperm count has to be at a certain level for you to be deemed fertile. Even though it only takes one, but yeah, you're supposed to have a certain tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands per you know, milliliter of seminal fluid.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All right, so somebody move around in the background. Anyway, so when he was trying to, he went to the doctor said he was fine. So he was like asking about to go check for his wife, right? And so she was supposed to go to the doctor and do whatever she needed to do. So then his wife and her sister got into an argument while they were drunk. And the sister said to the wife, while he was in earshot, he's like, does he know that you've been taking birth control pills this entire time?
I knew that was coming.
Does he know that you've had an abortion?
Oh, didn't see that one.
Right. So, that being said, I see you, came in right at the right time. All right. So he said, does he know? Everybody say, what's up, Dawoo? He just came in the building.
Hey, hey.
Hey,
sweet.
All right,
hey, what's up, y'all? Sorry,
so
I just finished my life, so.
Yeah, I saw you. I was in tag, but I was already over here, so I couldn't really go over there before there. But so when he discovered this, right, he discovered that not only had she been taking birth control pills, and that she, you know, that she didn't want to have the baby, but literally she had an abortion. You know, and so he was super upset about it, and so he went to go stay with his family. Like, he went to go stay with his parents for a little while, right? And so, you know, the ending of all that was, like, he was at his parents' house, and she was begging him to come back, and that she promised him that she would have a kid and everything else like that. And so the second part, I put the second part in there, so I'm just going to read from where he left off, right, on the update. All right, so this is the update. I'm going to read it. So he said, thank you for all your kind words. Hold on a second. I'm going to fix this real quick. Hit the sound. All right. He said, thank you for all your kind comments and private messages. I did refute a few unkind ones accusing me of trying to control her body or making her feel unsafe, which is why she secretly went through with it. Natalie came over to my parents' house last night after dinner. She dropped off Kayla at her friend's because she said she needed to talk to me. I'm glad I gave her the chance because now I have no doubt that she's a pathological liar. She said after her first pregnancy, she had to work so hard to be in shape, she swore she would never do that again. And I said, then you lied to me from day one. She said she thought she would change her mind, but she didn't. Then she saw me come to terms with not having a baby, so she decided not to tell me. And I said, so you lied more. You got rid of my baby because you wanted to stay fit? You didn't even discuss anything with me. How could you do that to me? I could be holding my baby right now and you stole that from me. She said she is sorry, but the good news is that she still can. I said, you are still lying. You still don't want a baby, and you're only saying it, so I stay. I don't even know what to believe anymore. I can't trust you ever. She started crying, saying that Kaya is so sad you left us because I can't give you a baby. I lost it. And you lied to her, too? Is this why she thinks I left? I told her it's over and to get out of my parents' house. She cried and cried. I'll meet with a lawyer this week to start the separation process. I sent a text to Kaya to explain that I didn't abandon her and would do anything to be in her life. I never legally adopted her, sadly. I can't believe blindly I trusted her after all these years. As for Kaya's dad, I have no idea who he is. She refuses to talk about it. All right, so here's the other update. Update two. Am I the asshole for divorcing my wife because she lied about her fertility? I'm sorry for the multiple posts, but you guys have been so helpful, definitely more than my family and friends in real life. I took your advice and met with my sister-in-law over lunch. She's very reluctant to give me any info, but here's what she said. Natalie is in no contact with her parents since before Kaya was born. She didn't lie about this part. I asked her if she knows who Kaya's dad is because Natalie gets upset every time I ask, and she refuses to talk about him. She was surprised and said, you're kidding, right? You really can't be this naive. Hold on a second. Sorry, this thing moved around because I guess whenever somebody came in, it just moved. Hold on a second. Sorry. No, this really moved around. Okay, all right. So she said, you really can't be this naive. Obviously, Ryan, her boss, the guy who owns the yoga place. I asked about the relationship. She kept saying Natalie really loves you. I begged her to tell me everything. She said she thinks, not sure that Natalie had an abortion, was that she wasn't sure if the baby was mine or Ryan's. Either way, she didn't want another baby, and I was floored. She was cheating on me. The same time we were trying for a baby with the same guy who already abandoned her once. What's going on here? Why? I was stupid enough to start a college fund for a kid, yet she cheated on me at least once with this guy. I'm going to lose my house and half of everything. She said, listen, you are a good guy. Just move on. No need to dig more. You're making yourself crazy. I asked if Kaya knows who her dad is. She said, absolutely not, because Ryan has zero desire to be in her life. I wanted to tell her everything, to tell everything to Kaya before leaving. Well, my parents think this is crossing the line because I'm not her dad or mom, and it's none of my business. My friends think I want to tell her to hurt Natalie, but it's the opposite. I know how awful it is to be lied to, and Kaya deserves the truth. My parents think that I act like a crazy person, and I should just meet with the lawyer. All right, so good people, denizens of War Council, what's your opinion? Is he the asshole for wanting to divorce his wife? For
no.
Lying about uh-uh. everything else that she's saying?
I don't know, he's not an asshole.
Uh-uh.
What she did, he will never be able to trust her. No matter how long he stays married to her, there's nothing she can do to gain that trust in him again. She deceived him in more than one way. And then the hurt piece, the real hurt piece, is the abortion. She knew he wanted to have children. She knew from the door he wanted to have children. And you're going to get pregnant and get rid of the baby? Give him the one thing, get rid of the one thing that he really, really desired? Man, look, honestly, I thought you were going to, I thought you were supposed to say she was a tranny. I wasn't expecting the abortion thing. But, he's not going, not only is he not going to trust her again, he may feel vengeful at times throughout the rest of the relationship and might do little spiteful shit. That can be kind of maddening, staying with someone that deceived you and hurt you like that. So I don't think he's an asshole for wanting a divorce. No. Get away from her, because clearly she isn't in the relationship for the benefit of both of them. It's all about her.
Well, matter of fact, so let me hear from the fellas since Dawood came in here. Let me go to Dawood. Dawood, what's your opinion?
This is a reflection of the conversation that we were having earlier today. There are times in life where there are men that want to have a family, and they can't necessarily have a family with the either significant other they have or the mother of their children for whatever reason. And so what happens is they stay with these toxic women that do all sorts of stuff to them. And we're on the outside saying, why won't you leave? Why won't you leave? Because if you remember in the midst of the story, the person says, don't dig deeper into this. Why don't you just move on? Well, that's easy for you to say. That's easy for you to say. But what, you know, this is the thing, the problem that I have a lot of time with these panel discussions that be on YouTube and things like that. Everything is black and white. And we don't live in a black and white world. We live in a world of nuance and shades of color. And so why would a man or why would a woman stay with a guy that cheated on her for so many years? Why would a man stay with a woman that did all of this crazy stuff? Because deep down in your heart, you always wanted to have a family with you know, you, your lady, and your child or your children. And you may not think that if you leave this situation that you could recreate that someplace else. And just like Danielle was saying, if you're hope for this was damaged by this kind of betrayal, it's almost like shock. You know what I'm saying? I work in the electrical field, and even though I do low voltage, you always have to be mindful of high voltage, because when you get shocked, it doesn't make you jump like in the movie. You literally sit there and you stand still and take more of the voltage until you die.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this situation, this guy wanted a family. It's not just like we're limiting, not we're, but it's almost like the way that the person was telling the story, they're limiting into him. It's not about the child. It's about everything. It's about the whole family dynamic that he had in his mind and in his heart. All of that shit is crushed now.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you move on after that? And the thing is that he wants to tell the daughter, some of that is vindictiveness, because you never have to tell the daughter nothing. But some of that also is that he loves that little girl so much that he thinks that when she does find out, it's going to be even worse, and maybe she will hate him for not saying anything about it. And I can tell you from personal experience, man, like I was with a chick recently, and she had two small children, and those children loved me. And what ended up happening was is I got addicted to the family dynamic that we had, and I felt really bad when I had to leave because her decision-making was not all that great. So I was talking to my mentor about it, and he said to me, he said, no. He said, you're being too hard on yourself, and you're not understanding what was in your heart. I said, what do you mean? He said, you have had situations with the mothers of your children where they have tried to block your direct bond and love for them. But then you go over to this situation, and this person is allowing you free access to their children, so now you have free access to the dynamic that you always wanted. And this is why when a lot of times I see this on social media a lot, women will say things like, oh, man, he's treating their kids better than my kids. Well, are you blocking him? Are you preventing him from having a genuine connection with his children? I don't know the answer to that. I know that's not the answer to every situation, but there's a lot of situations. And trust me, I do DV classes. I hear a lot of nightmare stories. So I guess what I'm saying to you is that what really the biggest crime here was not all of the cheating and all this other stuff, is that that woman broke that man's beautiful vision of having a family, and I don't think that he will ever trust another woman enough to try to rebuild that. I really don't.
Oh, wow. All right, so I'm gonna go over here to Lisa, and then I'm going to go to, you know, for the follow-up, Wendell. So, Lisa, what's your opinion?
Yeah, kind of like what Dawu was saying, he's not the asshole for his actions toward her, but I don't think it's his place to tell the child. If he wants to be in her life, then just talk about that point, but don't tell her the trifling junk that her mother did. That's, the mother needs to straighten that out. So, yeah. So I don't see that he's the asshole in the majority of this situation, though.
Okay.
All right, so I have a quick one. What's your opinion?
I hate it when stuff like this happens, because it just flies in the face of all attempts at good faith. She knew he wanted a child, and that was from the jump. So there's not a situation that I can contemplate of where you've been given a piece of information that is vital to your partner's happiness, and you disregard that information so callously, and think that there's no, that there'll be no consequence or repercussion. It really is, it speaks to how overinflated a person's perception of their own value is to another person. And it definitely underscores the lack of good faith that is required to successfully navigate any kind of relationship. So is he an asshole, for his behavior and attitude towards this person who violated that trust? No. And there's certain damage that is irreparable from the efforts of the person who inflicted the damage. It's ultimately going to end up being whether or not the person who has been damaged can find it in themselves to justify why having this violator in their life would even be something that they would want to do. But what she did is one of those things that is that's the worst. He's definitely not an asshole for how he's for any way that he could possibly respond to me. He would not be an asshole. There's nothing that he could do in this situation that I would deem him being an asshole. And if he did tell the other person, the other child, that he may be, that may be a boundary that he's overstepping, but I wouldn't say that I would do it, but I would understand. I can absolutely empathize. I would absolutely empathize.
I'm going to veggie back on something the good brother said, which is the consequences. And me and you were talking about this just the other day. God don't like ugly, man. And when you do something like this, like, you may think you're going to get away with it, but I have seen women and I have seen men, and they have treated people badly when they were younger, and you see them when they get older. They look terrible. And, most of us, we come under the rule of black don't crack. But you see people that are black that are in their 50s and they look terrible or whatever, and you're like, oh, it must have been the weed or the drinking. Nah, that's a bad person. That's a really bad person. And because they're bad, that particular karma makes them look the way they look. And the thing is that, we all like to watch various different movies. Some of us like to watch horror movies or superhero movies or whatever. But there's always that one guy or girl in the movie, and they've just been a bastard for years. And then you see them, and they look exactly like they are. You know what I'm saying? So when you do stuff like this, you may think you got away with it, and then you get older, and you look and you feel terrible. Why? Because you just are a bad human being.
Well,
and that's why I agree with Wendell and Lisa. Hold on, let me just say this, good brother. That's why I agree with them when I say that he probably shouldn't tell Shorty, like the child, because I would take myself out of the karmic situation, honest to goodness. I don't really want no bad repercussions. I would be dying to tell that child, but I can tell y'all from personal experience, when my dad split from my mom and I was 8 years old, every time I went over to my dad's house, my dad was telling me crazy stuff about my mom. I was only 8 years old. So, like, at some point, we didn't want to go over to my dad's house anymore because every time we went over there, it was your mother, she did this, she did that. My joke in my DV class, you want to hear my joke? My joke is that my dad is 78 years old, and if I call him today, within 5 minutes, my mom is a bitch. Within 5 minutes. somehow my mom is a bitch. And it's like, nigga, would you let it go? You know what I'm saying? And so I just think that when you do stuff like this to people, it you end up wearing that later on in life. And something's going to happen to you. It may not happen to you today or tomorrow, but eventually when you treat people like this, there's repercussions, son. I'm sorry, big brother.
Okay. 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 All right. So what I wanted to do is, number one, I wanted to bring in Melissa, the exclusive, who just came in. Melissa, say hi to everybody. Welcome to War Council.
Hi, it's a pleasure. Pleasure is all fine. How are you?
Hello. Okay. And then, of course, we're bringing in one of Tiffany's own, one half host of the Just Jay and Gina show, founder of Small House of Poetry. Just Jay.
What's going on with you, black man? Greetings,
what's
everybody.
Happening? What's happening?
Man, right, I couldn't miss you today, brother.
Thank you, thank you. All right, so to catch y'all up, right, we're doing Reddit, we're doing our Reddit segment, where is am I the asshole for divorcing my wife because she wouldn't have children, and basically what she did was she had been taking birth control, she wanted to stay physically in shape, and then she had an abortion, and the reason why she had the abortion is because she didn't know whether it was her boss's baby or her husband's baby. And as it turns out, that her boss is actually the father of her oldest child. And she still works at the yoga studio where her boss is. And basically, she's been cheating on her husband with him. And he has no regard of the child that he created with her and doesn't want to be bothered. But for some strange reason, it all came to a head when the two sisters had an argument while they were drunk. And the sister-in-law said that basically, does he know that you've been taking birth control pills? Does he know that you had an abortion? And then when he went to go talk to the sister, again, he finds out that, his wife didn't know who the father of her child was, because every time he asked her, he would get upset. And so we were going through that when anything else was happening. So I know that's a lot. Now, I was reading. I don't know when you got in, Jay, because I looked down. I wasn't looking at my laptop. I don't know which portion of you heard, and I know, Melissa, I know you didn't hear anything because I went and I pulled you in. But
just the last two speakers.
Okay. So the question is, which I'll propose to you two, and then I'll get into my thing with it, right? Is he the asshole to divorce his wife knowing that he wants a baby and she refuses to be pregnant and her child is by her boss? Wants nothing to do with her child. Is he the asshole for wanting to divorce her? So we'll go with Lady.
Hell no. Oh, my bad.
We'll go with Lady. Melissa.
Honestly, in my opinion, I think that he's within his rights to do so. I think that anytime that you enter into covenant and or contract, ministry, whatever you're going to enter into, where you're going to commit any portion of your time, talent, treasure, mental, spiritual, or physical, there needs to be a conversation to lay that foundation down. Hey, are you interested in having kids? Hey, do you want a dog or cat? I mean, it sounds minute. However, it becomes monumental when the opportunity presents itself to now have to call that out on the carpet. There are a lot of things you can compromise on, but if you went to the altar and said, I do, and you never discussed what you were committing to, and now you're feeling some type of way because you realize you said I do, but you didn't say I do to not having kids. You didn't say I do to not having threesomes maybe, or, I mean, just anything. You didn't say I do to, or didn't know that you were saying I do to, somebody who has a retail shopping spree issue. You just never know. And so I think communication is everything. But if this man wants to carry on his legacy and his wife is not willing to make that happen, or she's manipulatively going about not making that happen or stopping the process, then, yeah, I feel like they're not on one accord. And at that point, if he wants to write her a will of divorce, then so be it.
Hmm.
Wow. All right, so we're going to go over here. Just say your opinion.
I love what the sister just said. But me, it's over with. He's already broken. He can't trust her anymore. When she goes out, she doesn't even have to be doing anything. She could have went ahead and turned over a new leaf. His mind is still going because not only did she cheat on him, she had children with other people on him. From the sounds of it, twice. So she's a serial line stepper for one. I would divorce her just so I could have peace of mind, just so I wouldn't be something negative in her life. Because I know if I were to sit there through that, my imagination would make us unhappy.
Hmm. Well, being that as a mate, like for me, the elements of certain things, and me, you know, me and Dawood was talking about certain things earlier, and I hadn't been through something similar. I'd been through something a little bit crazier, but similar to this. But you know, when you're in a situation where you just don't know, like you just have no idea. The one thing I learned is that you know, when the door closes, the door closes. And for her to consistently still be working with the person who made her pregnant the first time, in the first place, and then not acknowledge the kid he made with her, and he's basically raising this child as his own and loving her, and she's basically saying, I want to stay in shape, I want to do all these different things. You know, I agree with Dawood that later on, these things show up. They just do. You know, you start to look at how certain things are happening. Now, in my personal experience of what I went through, like I literally went through something similar, but the thing is that my children were mine. Like they're my children. They weren't anything else. But that person literally decided at that point that they could throw everything to the wind. There was no accountability. There was no any type of anything that was happening. They just did not care because they wanted to do what they wanted to do in that moment. They told my children multiple things, and literally, like, I'm still repairing the relationship between me and my daughter, you know, to the point that my daughter takes on a lot of the aspects of her mother because of what her mother said to her and taught her. And even if her mother knew it wasn't true, she would tell her stuff anyway to make her feel a particular way to control her. And when you have somebody who's habitual and who's, you know, like just a person who lies at that level, there's nothing you can do. You have to let them go. And then when you see later all the stuff that they go through, you know, and this is the reason why it's funny, because I was telling Dawood, well, I was like, man, listen, I was like, this is crazy. You know, this is crazy how this person looks. This is crazy how this stuff is going on, and they're suffering all these different things. They're going through all this other stuff. And it's like, living well is the best revenge. I didn't have to seek any revenge. I just became the best father I could be in the moment. And it had rewards. And it had so many different things, you know. And when I look at my sons, I see, you know what I'm saying? Whereas, like, and then, you know, I'm fighting this whole thing because of the stuff that, you know, my mother, and I don't want to turn into, like, me talking about it, but in this dude's case, like, when you feel wrong.
Go ahead, bro. You got the floor.
That's what I'm saying. But when you feel wrong, right, and you don't have nothing, like there's no support, there's nothing, like there's nobody to help you, and you don't even know how to ask for help. You know, you don't even know who to go to, you know, and it's crazy because it's like, you know, when I tell my father and my brothers what happened to me, they were like, what are you stupid? They was like, what are you stupid? Why would you go through that? Why would you say it? And I said, listen, when somebody isolates you from everybody and you become the person because everybody knows that whatever this person acts up, you got to go take care of it. You got to be the person and you're buffering and everybody's tired of you because you keep bringing the situation to them. So they were like, yo, don't bring her around here if this is going to keep happening. And I got isolated and I ended up being homeless for 4 months because I was too ashamed to say anything. I was too ashamed to admit to people I lived in. Matter of fact, God damn it, Dawood, you was in the same goddamn city.
tell when you was around, right? I didn't even tell you. I didn't tell you shit.
No, you didn't.
I didn't tell nobody nothing. I just suffered.
For the record, y'all, this is my first time hearing he was homeless for 4 months.
Right. So I didn't say nothing to nobody. No, but it was crazy, right? And it was like, it was because, and I felt so much shame because I couldn't, like she could tell whatever lie she wanted to say, she could say it. And she would lie about so many different things. And it was like crazy. It was like, so what happened to you? Like, you know, and it was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Right. And it caused that whole thing. And it was just like she just had this habit of doing certain things in that same realm where there was no accountability. There was no form of understanding the type of damage that they were doing on an emotional and a spiritual level to me and her children. No care about it. And in this case in particular, this woman does not care about what's going to happen to her child or her husband and what it's going to do to her in the long run. She has no cares about it, you know, because not only did she lie about it, she's like, as long as you don't know, you're not going to find out. And the only way to find out is because of an argument, which, you know, sometimes God speaks to other people. You never know how it works out, you know. But his whole life is fucked up, and he doesn't know what to do with himself. I can feel his helplessness. I can really feel it. Like, I can feel, I'm like, I know what it's like when you get helpless and shit, and you don't know, and then people are like, oh, you're like a crazy person. You know, just move on. You don't know how to move on. It's weird. Like, you put so much of yourself, and it's funny, is like when men really feel, you know, they really feel. And their hearts are, and not to say it's different for anybody else, but when men are truly involved, like their whole hearts are involved and everything else is involved, you know, it's hard because we're vulnerable and we're open, you know. But anybody just want to comment on that before the next segment, because I just said a whole lot, which is wild.
Okay, bro, let's do it. Let's go to the next.
All right. Well, okay. So we're going to go to the second part of our Am I the Asshole? Hold on a second. I see you, Melissa. I'll come back and get you in a second. All right. So here's the other one. Wait a second. This is one before that one. Hold on. I'm going to get to it. All right. I was trying to clip it too. Am I the asshole for forcing my fiance into cutting off his late wife's family? Mini update. All right. Everyone, just a mini update to clear some things up before I have a discussion with my fiance either later today or tomorrow about my ultimatum. All right. Sidebar to me, ultimatums do not work. All right. I didn't sleep at all yesterday or the night before for obvious reasons. There's a ding on my phone at least once an hour from them saying one thing or the other, mainly the 19-year-old and I, and I don't know what they told people, but I got a message from one of their uncles and grandparents calling me horrible stuff too. So obviously they've been spreading what happened this week and twisted them. I haven't blocked them because I want to gain as much evidence as I can for an inevitable case. Regardless of any outcome with my fiance, I will be suing and filing a criminal case for harassment and vandalism and looking for a restraining order. I just haven't had the mental fortitude to do so yet. I'm hoping my fiancé will help me. I haven't spoken to my fiancé since the argument at the table, other than to tell him that they go or I do. It was my choice to give him a couple days of space to come to terms with everything, and I will contact him when I'm ready. Of all this, from this first message, which has now been a week, it's been a huge weight to contemplate leaving people you've known for 15 years or who you grew up with. He did set hard boundaries with the sister from the coffee shop, as I've seen the messages. He said, paraphrasing, you have no right talking to OP at all if this is how you're going to behave. She doesn't deserve this, and you've gone too far, and why are you being like this? And she replied with more name-calling back and forth. He ended by saying not to message me again and to not make sure that everyone else does the same. I was happy with that. At this point, only one person in that family had an issue, to my knowledge, and it was silly for him to cut all of them off. It may not have been enough for some people, but it was enough for me to feel safe and comfortable. For those who says he needs therapy and counseling, he's already getting it. He's been getting it since before we even started dating after an incident at work. I don't know about anything in their family, though. The first time I had a conversation with any of them was that night. Some people are wondering what LW died from. That's I guess he was, like, engaged or married to this person beforehand. And it was a botched weight loss surgery where she died of sepsis. People were wondering if he was somehow behind the reason behind the surgery, hence the family's insane reaction, but he was not in the slightest. He likes bigger women and wouldn't pressure something like that onto her, speaking from experience. I also want to clear up the not calling the police about the car thing. They vandalized the car. It was entirely my idea not to file charges in exchange for a face-to-face apology and damage payment. He only wanted me to wait so that he could talk to her to see if she regretted and have her father pay the damages. At the time, we thought it was just a 90-year-old that smashed up my car, not both daughters. Neither of us wanted to ruin her life, but when I found out it was both of them, it was full steam ahead. Thank you for all your messages. All right, and hopefully I'll have a positive update for you tomorrow. Edit, I chose for him to take this space apart. It's not him being indecisive. I said to take your time and reach out so his decision is thought out. It is for me. I don't want to be chosen and only be three kids down the line and stuck in a resentment-filled marriage. It's for me. Please understand that. All right, so she wants to know, is she the asshole for forcing her fiancé to cut off his late wife's family? And apparently when he got engaged, the sisters vandalized her car, left her messages, been harassing her when he decided that he was going to marry her. And then they hadn't met until they actually sat at a table, and the family basically verbally attacked her and said all kinds of crazy stuff. And so this is her response of saying, like, basically, you got to cut them off if you want to save my fiancé. So, war council people, what's your opinion?
Their family. Yeah, he needs to cut them all off. Because guess what? He ain't got no ties to them. Not anymore. And they are totally, just outright disrespecting her, destroying property, saying all kinds of mean, evil, hateful, nasty shit to her. Leave them the hell alone. I'd give him that ultimatum to her because I'm not going to be miserable trying to be the better person or the bigger person. I'm going to give it just as good as they do. He's going to be miserable, and so am I. So, yeah, you either cut them off or we're done, or I'm cutting us off, plain and simple. Because I can love you from afar, but I refuse to take that kind of treatment. I don't have to contend with that bullshit. Yeah, cut them the fuck off. Leave them alone. Or get gone.
Okay. Wow. Wendell.
Man. First of all, for me, just on GP, don't give me no ultimatum. I don't care who you are. I do not respond well to threats, because any time an ultimatum is given, it's someone trying to assert control over my behavior and over my life, and I will never, ever respond well to someone trying to usurp my autonomy. That being said, this family with whom he is no longer, tied and bound, if they're doing some fuck shit, then they need to be cut off. But he needs to be the one to do that. It shouldn't have to come as an ultimatum from his current partner. On the flip side, if she is attempting to use her sensitivities and insecurities to control my behavior so that she doesn't have to do the work of growing through that shit, well, then that's a whole nother conversation. She's got some more shadow work that she needs to do. So that she can grow and evolve to be at a place where, she can walk by my side. Because one thing that I can't foresee myself doing is constantly adjusting or making adjustments to how I move in order to placate how someone else moves. Because that's not healthy. that's just not healthy behavior. So I can support you as you are doing your work, but you putting rules on me in order to substitute for you doing your work is never going to fly. So that's what I would think.
Okay.
Lips?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Wendell. First of all, what gives his former in-laws the right to hold him to some standard over his dead fiance's life? You know, he was with her till whatever happened with her happened, but he's not bound to her for eternity. Are they saying that he's never supposed to be happy again? So they have to control his life. That's a problem he needs to handle. And as far as the current fiance, she's got control issues as well. I'm like you guys, the word ultimatum stuck out to me immediately. Handing out an ultimatum to anybody is asking for trouble, because they're either going to comply to suit you or they're going to stand up for their own right. And either way, it's not going to be good on you. So, you know, there's more issues than just these in-laws going on there.
Okay. Daoud.
I have a good female friend that just went through this. Well, not just went through this, but went through this a couple of years ago, where she got with the dude of her dreams. This nigga looked like a poor man's Idris Elba. And unfortunately, he had been dealing with his ex's family that he had children by, and I mean for years. And so, like, he did everything he could to get in her heart and build a love with her. And ultimately, it's the family that toppled the relationship. Because, like, the daughters would come on Facebook and talk shit to her. Like, it was crazy. You know what I mean? And the thing is that, like, for me, I'm going to say this, like, and I keep going back to my experience of being outside the last couple of years. I've learned a lot. And one of the things I learned is that, like, when you finally find somebody that you think you really want to build a love with, you got to clear the decks. Like, you literally got to clear the decks. What do you look like? You still messing with the family of, like, I mean, you could still have casual or cordial connection to the family, but to have that much input into your life, it's almost like they're dedicated to making you miserable. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like they're saying you can't move on and be happy after you left our family member. And so what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to scare away anybody that comes into your life that attempts to make you happy. And I'm not jacking that shit. Because in this lifetime, everybody is looking for a soulmate. Everybody's looking for love. And we can only count on one hand the amount of people that we look at and we'd be like, man, they got something that I would love to have. One hand, that's five fingers. And here y'all is trying to stop me from finding that shit again? Y'all better kick rocks. So in my judgment, son, you wouldn't have to give me no ultimatum. You wouldn't. Because if you're doing what you're supposed to do as a man or a woman, you're clearing the deck so that that love could be pure and there could be no problem. But when you keep people around to complicate the issue, you are inviting some bullshit into your situation that you can then blame on the other person. My mentor works with me with this all the time, where he says, you already know, I talked about this tonight, you already knew that that person was in pain. You already knew that they were pain, but yet you took their number anyway. And when you take their number and they disappoint you like you know they're gonna, you then get to turn around and point the finger at them and say that they disappointed you. Everybody looks at it as if that person did you wrong, but the first wrong was you, because you knew full well that person couldn't make you happy. Likewise, in the situation, here it is, you trying to find love again after your other, you know, your other significant other passed. Why are you still holding on to their family? So that when a new person comes in, you can then write this bullshit on Reddit and try to and play victim and act like, I don't know, she gave me ultimatum. Get the fuck out of here, son. Like, if you got a new person coming to your life, clear the fucking decks and make it easy for that person to be safe and secure, and y'all could build something. But no, you want to keep this family around so that you have a reason. Like, it's almost like you need an out, and that's just the way I feel about it.
Okay, I'm gonna go to Melissa. Melissa, your opinion.
Okay, I'm kind of context clue. So what am I understanding? That there's somebody getting into a relationship, but the person in the relationship is still holding on to a past relationship family?
Yes.
And
so,
the past
relationship,
they were that person deceased?
No, just to update you, the person, his wife had died because of a weight loss surgery, and they got sepsis and they died, and he was connected to their family. And so he's so connected to their family that when he got engaged again, the family started to assault his fiance and talk bad to her, talked bad to her on social media, vandalized, like the two sisters vandalized their car, cursed her out, and he was trying to set boundaries, but, you know, and he had been seeing someone for therapy and everything else was going on, but he hadn't let go of the family. And the family basically had taken it upon themselves to try to drive her off. So she wants to know if she's the asshole for giving him an ultimatum saying, you know, it's either me or them.
I agree with that. I agree with the last statement that was made. Yeah, clear the landing strip before you try to land me there. Like, I understand baggage. I understand damage. I understand... some things, especially where there's children involved, I understand soul ties and all of that. I get it. You're more than allowed to have that. But before you even consider getting into another relationship or connecting with another person, are you back to the 100% wholeness? I don't want to be here to fill in the gap, per se. Growing with you is something completely different. But, yeah, I think that, yeah, if you're dealing with the family for the sake of the child, that's one thing. But for them to completely dominate a whole separate life that you created and built for yourself, I think that's stepping out of line. I don't think it's their place to dominate anything that he's doing at this point. That young lady is deceased, and they weren't married, like the prior person said. I'm a widow. And I wish that I thought that anybody on that side of the family would ever try to tell me what to do with my life at this point. It would not go well.
Okay.
Love yourself.
Well, just to clear things up, he didn't have a child with the deceased wife. There's no children involved in that relationship.
Oh, okay.
And he's only engaged to his current fiance, and the family's having problems with that. So he basically has been.
Yeah, but none of that shit matters. It doesn't change my perspective.
I don't think. I think my perspective would still stay. I'm sorry. There was a delay. I didn't mean to cut whoever off. My perspective is still the same.
No, go ahead. Because you get ready to say exactly how I feel. Go ahead.
Now, literally that, my perspective is the same. Child involved, no child involved. If we're engaged, if we're just help buddies, friends with benefits, the moral of the story is I'm a grown adult. If we both drop dead, I can only give an account for myself and you the same. So let's leave it there. Unless I introduce you into my life, my world, my circle, and ask you for your opinion, mind your business.
Yep.
Okay.
That's crazy. I can't even imagine. I wish y'all would try to tell me going forward. Man, anyway, this should get me angry and it's not me.
Before we get into that, I'm going to go over here to Just Jay. Just Jay.
Yeah, man. That didn't just happen when all of that happened. It didn't happen overnight. That's a system they probably got in that's been going strong for generations of how they keep their little, whatever they have, whether it's cliquish or money type. by me saying that is people say I'm a victim blamer. I don't think I am. But I do believe that once we see a pattern, it's up to us to go ahead and whether we're going to go with that pattern. And not saying that that pattern is bad. That might be a pattern for a certain person. They slide into that system, and they love it because they built for it. Me personally, I wouldn't be built for it. So that would be a major red flag that would cause me to go ahead and pause on if I wanted to be involved with that on that level potentially forever.
Mm. Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, he must have been so knee-deep into the family. Like, you know, so, and sometimes some people are like that. There was another one I was going to put up, but I didn't have the time to grab it. But it literally was along the same lines. A woman was married to this lady's son, right? And she didn't have any children for him, right? And they divorced, but she stayed close to the mother. And so she basically got so close to the mother that she would basically come over unannounced, show up, and the mother would invite her to family functions and show up. And her ex-husband was like, I'm uncomfortable. He would go to his mother. He's like, I'm uncomfortable with you inviting her here. It's an offense to me and my new wife and our two children, you know, because she never bore him any child. She never got into any other relationship after that. So 8 years later, you know, the mother ends up passing, right? The mother ends up passing, right? And so since all the siblings had their own houses, they decide to keep their mother's house as a guest house for, like, nieces and nephews that come to visit and stuff like that so that they have a house to host them, right? So the former wife had keys to the house and was going in and out of the house and going to the garden and doing all this other crazy stuff afterwards. Now, when they read the will, she wasn't anywhere in the will. And so the sister was like, well, let me go to you. And she's like, I need those keys back. She's like, I need the keys, and you need to stop coming around. My mother's no longer here. And she's like, well, your mother regarded me as a daughter. She regarded me as a daughter, and she'd want me to be here, right? And so she was having a problem, like, and she had to go see her a few times to get the keys from her because she wouldn't give her the key, right? And then she basically had to give her, like, a cease and desist and be like, yo, you're going to give me the keys or it's going to be legal problems, whatever. And so she was all upset saying, you're taking away the only thing that happened, you know, that made me happy. Your mother was like a mother to me and all this other stuff. Now, mind you, she has parents. She has a whole bunch of stuff, but she's not focused on that. So in that case, you know, similar to this where somebody's in there where basically they have no connection to the family, you know, what would you do if you knew that someone was close to a former parent, you know, a deceased parent, and they felt like they had rights and privileges to the same things that you had as a child?
The connection that she had and the relationship with the mom that passed, she may still feel connected to her, but I think the family did the right thing by taking those keys back. It sounds like she really didn't have too much of a good relationship with the rest of the family. Because if she did, they probably wouldn't have a problem with her keeping the keys. It just comes a time when we have to move on from certain things. And that relationship ended when mom passed. She may have felt close to her and it may have made her happy and everything, but it ain't happening like that no more. So she has to move on. And that's just it. I mean, I kind of feel bad for her because you can develop a really good relationship with a certain person, especially a matriarch. But once they're gone and you don't have that close connection to the rest of the family, it's time for you to move on. And that's it. Because it didn't seem like she was a problem for her ex. It didn't
no,
really mention in here where she was,
No, she was a problem for her ex. He asked his mother to not let her come around because he kept inviting her to family functions as if she was family. And the son was like, stop inviting her. It's offensive to me and my new wife and my new kids. He never bore him kids. She never had kids
okay.
for him, you know.
Okay.
So she's
okay.
basically a solo single person. And he remarried. He had a new wife. He had two kids with her. And so the mother kept inviting her to family functions. And she kept coming, like Christmas and shit like that.
Okay, but was she? But my thing is, did she interfere with his relationship in any way, shape, or form? Like, was she saying anything to his new lady? Was she doing little things, making little innuendos? Because
well,
he
I mean,
felt
they weren't. They weren't.
More like
he.
I said more likely than not.
Well, let's frame it like this, and then we'll go back into it. Would you feel comfortable with your ex being at a family function while you're there with your new person? Let's try it that way, and then we'll loop back around. So let's do that real fast. So let's start at the top from where I'm sitting. I'm gonna start with Melissa, all right, and then I'm gonna work my way down. Melissa, would you feel comfortable? Would you feel comfortable that your mother invited your ex to a family function while you're there with your new person?
That depends on where me and the ex dropped off. Just because they're an ex doesn't mean they're an enemy. And so there are some instances where exes have now their own spouses, and you and that person become great friends. Or part of ways of becoming great friends. And in that instance, I wouldn't see a problem with it. However, if it antagonizes my partner or my spouse or whomever, then absolutely not. I'm not going to do anything to disturb their peace. But if I feel secure, they feel secure, it's no big deal. There's a good mutual reason why this person is around. They're not antagonizing my partner. Then I'm secure enough to let them come through.
Okay. Wendell.
Yes, sir.
So would you be upset if your ex came to a family function when you're there with your new person because they was invited by your mom?
I don't think I'd have to worry about that because I know the relationship between my mom and my ex. But hypothetically speaking, if my mother invited my ex to a family event and I'm there with my new partner, would I be upset? As long as my ex don't start no shit. Because I've been cultivating a more amicable relationship with my ex. Now, if you would have asked me this question 2 years ago, it would have been a straight hell no. But today, I have a little bit more tolerance. But again, your presence is not going to be the thing that irks me. Your behavior would be. You know, so if you can act like you got some sense, then you know we can share the same space. But if not, I'm not down with you sowing discord in the fields of my peace. So, yeah, you don't have to go.
Okay. Lip, coming to you.
I kind of agree with Wendell but the thing that you said was that this man has married and had children in a new relationship, but she's still single. But it sounds like to me she's waiting for something to happen so that she can jump back in the shoes she messed up in the first place. So in that case, she doesn't need to be there. And the mother needs to see that too. But for right now, she used the mother until the mother died just to be able to stay around. So, yeah, I don't think I would want her there.
I'm going to go to Dawood. Your opinion.
Um,
see, this is a situation where if my mom is overwrite, well, my mom would never do nothing like this because my mom is like, you know, like once I sever ties, she sever ties. She's team me. So this would really never happen to me. If it did happen, you know what I'm saying, like a hypothetical situation, then I would talk to mom and be like, why are you doing this? Because, again, what I've learned in my lifetime of experience in relationships is you got to make your partner as comfortable as possible. And, you know, that doesn't mean that sometimes you have to compromise yourself to do so, but anything within your power to make your partner comfortable, you should do it. And I haven't always been that way. I haven't always thought that way. In some ways, I thought that that was stupid, which was stupid, that I thought it was stupid. You know what I'm saying? But now that I know the value of love and the power of it and what it can really do in life, you got to do whatever you can to make your partner comfortable. And that requires a lot of compromise in certain ways. So, you know, if this is an ex and my mom is on some bullshit allowing her to come to family function, me and mom are going to have a talk. Because if that makes my ex uncomfortable, I'm not trying to see that. You're an ex for a reason. And even if we, like, split amicably and it was cool between us, you know, there's certain boundaries or paths you ain't got to cross. And why you're not trying to build your own life? Why you're not trying to find your own partner? Are you hanging around because, like, you know, we talked about this earlier today. There's some people in life that don't want you but don't want anybody else to have you. They are terrified and what somebody else will do with you, knowing that you have incredible potential to love. And so what they'll do is they'll hang around just so they could, just enough to sabotage your opportunities to outshine what they couldn't do with you. And that shit sucks to me. It really does. But I'm not naive. I know that we're living in a world like that, and I've heard many, many, many stories. And that's why I did a live once called Don't Spin the Block. Spin the Block specifically just to stop you from being happy, even though they don't want to be happy with you and don't want to put that work in. That's what this smells like to me. What you around my family with? Why don't you go build your own life? I just don't understand it.
Yeah, that's serious business. And Just Jay, you're going to round us out.
Bro, let me tell you like this. She would have to be the most coolest, chill individual in the world for me to be taking my old lady over there. And I would put it before my family. I'm like, hey, you know I'm with Jackie now, so we're going to be coming by here, would it be a problem? And I would also talk to, what's her name, too, the young lady that's there to find out if it's going to be a problem. If I sense any type of snarkiness or anything like that, I just won't go over there. Or I may, when I feel like it's right, I try to see how it works out. But if it's any type of snarkiness towards my old lady, anything, I ain't having that. But I have seen this work this way. The dude to be kicking it with the first young lady, the family fall in love with her. Even after y'all break up, they don't say like, well, you got to go your own way because you broke up with Tyrone. Like, no, you still family. And I have seen stuff like that work, but the person would have to be extra chill. My family, if they sense that she was the type of person that would go ahead and try to start some mess or just, like, even do little backhanded stuff, they would go ahead and talk to her about that. And if they was to a point with her that my feelings didn't matter, they would just have to miss me, and it would be because of this impasse right here.
This shit is a slippery slope, son. Because if you allow your ex to come through, and you as a man, then what about Shorty? What if Shorty allows her ex to come through? You know what I'm saying? It's a slippery slope to me, and you wouldn't like that. So I wouldn't put somebody in a position that I don't want to be in myself.
You know what the funny thing is because shit happens in real time, you know. I do not get along with my ex-wife in any sense of the form. And I'm only saying wife because I would have other terms, but we're healed and we're past that now. But the one thing under no circumstances, like in my family, if you bore children, then you're regarded as part of the family. Like you're in the family. because you bore children. You're a part of that. You're recognized for that function. So with my ex, she's always going to be recognized as a part of the family, you know, but only you can, you know, like Smokey the Bear, only you can get protected from fires. Only you can do that. And so
real tough.
Most of the stuff, most of the time, whenever she fuck up, it'd be her fuck up. And there's nobody to save. It wasn't anything else to do, but it was just something that she chose to do. And then she could choose to show up or not show up. And, you know, and it was just like, you know, like she just would do goofy shit and family stuff. Like my mother would never allow her to come around. Like, you know, that's how my mom was just, you know, they just was oil and water. Like, I remember one time, all right, I was in D.C., and she's like, oh, you know, your mother said she would watch, you know, Ayanna Assad. I was like, yeah, right. And so the thing was, she came, right. My mother opened the door. She took the children, and she slammed the door in her face. it was that bad. And she's like, your mother slammed the door in my face. And I was just like, I'm in D.C. What do you want me to do? I can't do anything about it, you know. But you can go to work now, you know. It was just a bad thing. But my pops, a little bit different, you know. And so, you know, like, because Dawood and Danielle, y'all know all the stuff that happened around my son's graduation. So, you know, here we have my son graduating from medical school. And it's great and grandiose and blah, blah, blah. And, like, and she's kind of outlawed from my father's house because she did some bullshit couple years ago, right? So she's not allowed to come because she does bullshit and stuff like that. And more importantly, she brings, like, the dregs of the earth with her when she comes places, which we still don't understand why she does it, you know. Damn near Ivy League degree, dregs of the earth. Anyway, my bad. God, I'm sorry. Anyway, don't let me. You know I'm trying.
Hilarious.
I'm trying. Dawood is laughing because he knows I'm crying. Anyway, listen, so here it is, right? Son's graduation, right? We're at the graduation, and so, like, I don't talk to her. And then, like, I don't choose to visit any type of stress or drama upon myself when it comes to her and her existence, right? So my son's graduation, she's literally, like, coming and standing near me, and I'm just going the opposite direction, all this other stuff. And she really had this whole thing about the graduation, was complaining and doing all this other stuff. And then she came without a husband, which I don't know why she did that. But my son was like, I don't really like that guy. So I guess that was an agreement between him and his mother. So when we decided to have a graduation party, because my son, he's not a big dude. He doesn't put on – I mean, he's not a guy to put on airs, right? We're like, okay, well, this is the graduation barbecue. And the thing that he wanted both of his parents there, you know, and he made me construct a peace treaty with her. And after we had the peace treaty and all this other stuff for his graduation, she couldn't show up. She didn't. The one place that she was actually needed, the one place that he actually wanted her to come, and she couldn't do it. And so now we're going through the same thing. My daughter's graduating in May, and my daughter's like, yo, it's a wash, because she's like, this whole thing's a wash because you and mom. And I was like, no. I was like, whatever you want to do, we'll do. I was like, but I'm not going to put myself in a situation with her because she's just caustic, you know. And the thing is, like, you know, my daughter has this whole thing, like, somehow magically we're somehow going to get back together. And I'm like, mama, we're never getting together. You know, we on that Taylor Swift. It ain't going down. We are never getting back together, right? And it's crazy because that's her thing. And I was like, we can't heal the past. We're trying to work through it, anything else. But she can't come to family functions. Like, we don't want her there now. Like if you can't come on the most important bars, why should you come for anything else? So when we had Christmas and all this other stuff, we didn't invite her. We didn't tell her anything. You know, and she saw all the pictures, and she was all upset. And so, oh, why couldn't I? And we was like, no, that's it. You know, you can't show up for the big stuff. You can't go to the little stuff. You can't, like, pick and choose. You either show up all the time or you show up or not at all, and especially when you've been given carte blanche to come after you fucked up this many times. Mm-hmm. You know? So no, you don't get that. You know, and it's crazy because, you know, I don't want to tell my son's business. My son's like, I don't even know what I would do with my child. I don't, you know, I wouldn't leave my child with my mother. That's deep. That's deep as fuck to me. Like, that's some of the deepest shit I've ever heard. I wouldn't leave my child with my mother. What kind of shit is that? You know, that's crazy. Anyways, let me get off that because, you know, I was doing all right. Anyway, it is approximately 10:55, 5 minutes to the witch hour, 11 o'clock. You know, it's a school night. We're doing on Tuesdays. Everything else is happening. So we're going to finish out with our segment. You have 30 seconds to tell whatever something. It's called the FOH segment. It's fuck out of here. Whatever you want to tell to get fuck out of here, this is your time to do it. We'll start at the top and run it on down. And, you know, explain your reason why it's a fuck out of here, and we're going to go. So let's start at the top. Matter of fact, let's start at the bottom. So Just Jay, what's your fuck out of here for the week?
I don't know how this go, man. I probably better watch a couple of people.
All right, we'll come back to you. All right, Dr. Crawl, what's your fuck out of here for the week? What's your fuck out of here for the week?
Me?
I said Dawood.
Oh.
Is he still on here?
Oh, shoot. I don't have one, son. Life is good for me right now. I don't have one. I'm pretty sure I have one for you next week. Matter of fact, I said that like 1,000 times today, didn't I? So
yeah.
Extract one from the many. I am just glad to be here after my long hiatus. I'm glad to hear the beautiful, sultry voice of Miss Danielle. And to be on the same panel as Lisa List and everybody else. And I don't have a fuck out of here. I'm glad to be here.
All right. So, okay. That's dope. That's dope as hell. We like that. Positive energy always creates salvation. Lisa List, what's your fuck out of here for the week?
My fuck out of here is the pain I've been dealing with this week. I want that to get the fuck out of here because it's been crazy.
I'm sorry, it's your suffering. You know, but we all know what everything is. You know, let's all offer up a solid prayer for Lisa to ease her pain and the things that she's been going through. Take a second. Pray. Okay. All right, we're going to go from you to Danielle. Danielle, what's your fuck out of here for the week?
My fuck out of here is I got contacted by someone who made me feel a certain kind of way. So I left them alone, and they came back in and expressed that they would like to see me. And I said, you know what, I'm okay. I'm going to give this a chance. And I have a kind of a busy schedule because my time is taken up. I'm going to hurry up with this. Anyway, I say, you know what, I'm kind of busy for the rest of the month because, you know, I got my grandson. I said, but the first week of next month, I'm open. And when I said that, he said, don't even bother. So fuck out of here. Don't even contact me no more. That's bullshit.
Oh, shit. Goddamn. All right. I'm going to go to you, Melissa. What's your fuck out of here for the week?
So many of them. No, somewhere between inflation and people who play in your face like you don't have intellect for, like, basic common sense. That's my get the fuck out of here for the week.
Good one. All right, Just Jay, back to you. What's the fuck out of here for the week?
Man, all this job shit and the rest of that type of stuff can get the fuck out of here, man.
That's good.
Point blank. Get the fuck out of here.
All right. So to end the segment, my fuck out of here, I got like four good ones. So my first get the fuck out of here is the white woman who was set free after stabbing her black boyfriend 108 times. And they said that she had weed psychosis. Fuck out of here with that. Fuck out of here with that. I'll send you the video. Matter of fact,
they got to open up all the prisons then.
Yeah, man. Listen, no, but they let her go for saying she had weed psychosis, and she stabbed her. She hit two hits of the weed, and she stabbed him 108 times. And she said, and they said it was weed psychosis. That's what they said. So she's free now. All right, my other fuck out of here is a Trump fuck out of here for Fox News first. Fox News for saying that Trump is enticing the black community with his Trump ones and shit, and saying that it gives him like great things in the black community by selling these sneakers that are $400 a piece and ain't shit, you know, and anything else. Mm-hmm. And then fucking Fat Joe talk about I'm a sneaker collector. He does, and they use his information so that more people buy it, and he sold them at $400 per sneaker. Some of the dumbest shit I ever fucking seen in my entire world, and they're fucking nasty ass, ugly ass fucking saying, fuck out of here with that, right? And then fuck out of here with the fact that he is not only a sexual assaultist, he's still running for president. People are still voting for his ass, and he can't even fucking pay his bills, but quote unquote, he's a billionaire. Fuck out of here with that. You fuck on out of here with that. And then my last one. Also has to do with inflation and food, all right? Whoever said that fucking butter should cost $5.99 needs to get the fuck out of here. Get your ass the fuck up on out of here with the fucking Land O'Lakes butter costing $5.99. You must be out your goddamn mind. There's something going on here. We don't know what the fuck it
good
is.
Call.
But $5.99 for some goddamn Land O'Lakes butter. You can get a whole pound of cheese for less than a pound of butter. And it's the same goddamn thing. Anyway, that's my fuck out of here. Because what I see, I was like, oh, you got to fuck out of here with that shit. That's out your mind. Oh, wait, and my last one. Fuck out of here to my son's best friend who called him a gorilla, you know, because your whiteness is showing. You got to get the fuck on out of here. And you got to go.
Okay.
And they ain't never going to be no way that you could make friends with my son again, because now I'm on your ass. And every time you sit there, and you the same little motherfucker calling 2 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, all this other shit, but you going to call your best friend a gorilla in school, you know, look at somebody's screensaver and say, all right, gorilla, it's you. No, that's not cute. I don't give a fuck. There's no misunderstanding. There's anything else. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck if your parents call. I don't give a fuck if you, I don't care if the school calls. I'm going to whoop everybody's ass. I'm going to sit there intellectually whoop your ass, and then when I see you, if you say something, I'm going to beat your father's ass, because that's just what's going to go down. Because that shit I found out tonight, I didn't even get a chance to talk about. That's the only reason why I was taking so long, right? Because my son didn't say shit. I said, what? He's like, yeah, I'm no longer friends with him. I was like, what do you mean you're no longer friends? He called me a gorilla. I was like, what? I was like, oh, okay. Wow. Fuck out of here. You're done. Dunzo. Anyway, that being said, I know this is personal. I want to thank everybody for coming out this evening. Give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you for coming out to War Council, another installment here on the For Real Entertainment Network, where we encourage you to take your socks off. Pippi Ray Universe, the Starship, where we boldly go where poems haven't gone before, as well as conversation here on War Council. We rocking out with our socks out. And while we go, you know, we're going to close down everything else. And in the meantime, in between time, I'm going to close this out with this poem. Hold on a second. Let me see. If it comes out, I don't know if it's going to be too loud, but I'm going to try to make it. You know, I'm going to give it like 30 seconds, so I'm going to cut everything else out. But I want to thank Melissa the Exclusive. I want to thank Lisa Lips. I want to thank my favorite Philly John, the Brother Nigga. I want to thank Just Jay of the Just Jay and Gina Show here on the Piffy Radio Universe, one of the as well the Snow House of Poetry. Make sure you give it a Make sure you take your ass over to Clubhouse and check out one of the best rooms on the app and beyond, right? And shout out to For Real for allowing me to be me, because, you know, it's the only way to get it, you know. There's a reason why we have love for this Epiphany thing, because it's real family, it's real energy, real good vibes. All right? So that being said, I'll play this poem, and then we out of here. Oh, yeah. It's
just not playing.
I hope you're waiting like I'm waiting. In between breaths, in between blinks, time is moving so slow. And I can imagine you opening your eyes up the night filled with us, filling us with the sweetness that's only shared with intention, like tongues intertwined. Passions realized and kept like the sun rising. I'm excited like a child on Christmas Eve, ready to unwrap this gift I've waited all this time for. And I can't sleep. I'm restless. I wait for sunrise. I measure the space and time and quantum leaps of heartbeats and beauty, written words, written in spirit, written. Is this our story? Some say that the more you lose than you gain, it is the world. And is this our story? Time is moving on. We make revolutions around the sun, and each day lingers with the growing feeling. Seeds planted, expectation grows, lotuses open in accordance with light. Brother Sun speaks to Sister Moon in exchange of day for night. We lose track and we wonder, is this the beginning or ending? Some kind of wonderful each moment, racing sunsets ending in sleep, waiting to new days and nights, hoping to find you closer, standing still, stuck like a fly in amber, hoping love has that time-stopping effect, waiting. And I want you to want me like needing oxygen after being under for so long, and so long to lost loves who surrendered and drowned, giving up breath. But we are mermaids. We swim. The currents prayed for the love swept, hearts kept waiting. Please be the dream I dreamt, the wish I sent when I put my penny into the wishing well. And well wishes have not ties. I'm sleepless in Seattle and not see it all. I just need to get closer than a phone call. Maybe get into each other's vibe. Fear is a part of that. Too many times we crossed the middle passage to lose everything. Name, body, and spirit. And forgot I once called you queen and lover in the same refrain. And fear makes us sing those songs that make us so sick. These radios blare, turned off like they don't care. Throw your heart in the air, no longer waving like we just don't care. This is serious. I need your cipher to put back my Osiris pieces. Love the callous parts for the concrete I pretend they are. Suckle me, heal me. Make love to the northern part of my spirit before I go down south and experience the heat of your equator. And I have nothing except the space of the rib where you can take back what is rightfully yours. I give you the power that makes kingdom, gives honor and glory to both kings and queens, and I would give a universe for you if it meant that we could find each other. In divine time, I hope that you're waiting, like I'm waiting for this time to pass, seeing heart to heart, praying that our spirits match, cause I need you like you need me, this hope for we, our future plans, and family, but until then, we must transform all past pain, false paradise, temporary emotional tempest, precipitation of hurt, and the valiance of nation, unconditional, unbridled, and free love and all its possibilities. Hold tight. No one ever said breathing was easy, but we are mermaids. We swim. Time is moving on, and if you open your eyes, I will see the wonder and love past the woe. I hope you're waiting like I'm waiting for you. And I only have time for a kiss.